your attendance and your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord. Praise God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. There's probably no way that I am going to finish what I've started, or I'm going to start, but I'm going to try. And the little cliche has always been, you know, one end can receive as long as the other end can endure. So we'll try to, and I don't mind telling you, I've been pastoring for 43 years. And this is probably as nervous as I have ever been in my life. So it tells you what I'm going to preach to you today is, I feel in my heart, is very important. And there's no way that I want to be offensive. And I will tell you, the way that we run Promised Land Church is, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I think. That's not on his agenda, so. But I want to read you something that I. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And this is the way, the scriptural way, for a church to be run. There is a chain of command in the earthly and heavenly kingdom. And Paul says here, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. So the chain of command doesn't include the pastor. You men are in charge of your house. Your pastor, you respect him, you listen to him, I teach you, but you make the decisions. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, I just wanted to lay that. That's the way I believe with my heart, that I don't think I should be involved. If Brother Dale is having a major problem with Sister Carter, which he probably does regularly, it's not any of my business to join in and help him. No, I've known you too long, brother. We'd both lose. But all I'm trying to convey to you is every one of you men have a responsibility to your family and to God. And that is for you to get them to heaven. That's your responsibility. And so today I am going to talk to you about when we receive the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, or us old King James Version people, the Holy Ghost. Now we know that any spirit or ghost is that of a departed one. Somebody had to die before there could be a ghost. And Jesus did that for us. And he said, if that same spirit be in you that raised me up, not a different one, but the same one. So I am going to do my best today to help you perceive and understand how important it is to let the Bible speak where the Bible speaks. And where the Bible is silent, let us be silent. Now, if you don't adapt you some rules of interpretation, you will become the weirdest religious freak that ever walked. But if you will adapt you some regulations within which to find truth within, you will be balanced. And what we want to talk, I'm sure I'm not going to finish today. So Wednesday night, I plan on talking to you in detail about a reformation. Now, when I say reformation, how many of you know what reformation was? Reformation was when religion started organizing. In the book of Acts in chapter 2, there was no organized religious movement. It was just what God sent down, no more, no less. But after about 325 years, mankind began to organize religion, and Constantino began to make some changes, and he changed some things that's in the Word of God, that's even in our history, that we can prove that he changed it. And he changed it through, and then from 325 then up to about the 15th century. And the 15th century, the Reformation actually started. And what happened at the Reformation is the Catholic Church became the first organized religion. Now, they weren't the first religion. They became the first man-made organized religion. A lot of difference. And so when I talk about the Reformation, I want you to understand that in the 15th century, the Catholics drew up some rules and regulations and said, you got to believe thus and thus and thus, or you can't be saved. Otherwise, you got to be one of us. That went on for about 150 to 175 years, and then there was a man by the name of Martin Luther who decided that the just had to live by faith. And he took his papers, he was an ordained priest, and he nailed them to the door of the church, the thesis. And he walked out and said, the just shall live by faith. And so out of the Catholic Church came the Lutheran Church. And out of the Lutheran Church came the Wesleyan Church. And out of the Wesleyan Church came the Adventist Church. And on and on it goes. And for 12 times a church came out of a church, until we got to about the 1900s, and then we had the Pentecostals, which were the Assemblies of God to start with, came out, and they then in 1922 in Indiana at a camp meeting, the organization that I was belonged to that has had a great bearing on how I believe and see things, in 1922, never before can you find them in history. Until 1922, a man by the name of Bell walked through Assembly of God camp meeting saying, read Acts 2:38, and from that started a movement, and by 1948, there was a United Pentecostal Church International born, and they had a manual, and their manual said, you got to believe thus and thus and thus, or you can't be saved. Organized, man-made religion is God's biggest enemy. Let God be God. And so today I want you to, you got to understand that everything that I tell you that I believe is not, quote, the pure truth. The pure truth only God knows, and I may get a glimpse of it occasionally. But I am the biggest fool that ever lived to let a man influence me in how to be saved with his own ideas. When I was 21 years old, I had a little problem with, you see, when I was 15 years old, I went to church, went to the altar, and I was wanting to be saved. So the way that you were saved is they had to give an altar call, and you had to come down, and you had to receive the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in tongues. I went down to that altar, and for 6 years, I sought the Holy Ghost, completely unscriptural. You can't ever find in the Bible where they ever sought the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was given. Now listen to me. Peter was asked a very important question. He was asked, what should we do to be saved? And this is what Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye probably in 10 years will receive the Holy Ghost. And ye shall, and ye shall, and you can't keep from it, and it's going to happen. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost. In the 43 years that I pastored, and 35 of them as a United Pentecostal church, the best that I could tell with my poor record keeping that I did, basically, out of all the people that came forth and came to the altar, only about 35 or 40% of them got the Holy Ghost, and the other 70% left and are going to hell, according to the manual. So what I'm trying to do today is make you, shake you, slap you, whatever I got to do to get you awake, to get you to get in the Bible and find out if the truth can stand examination, it's the truth. If it can't stand examination, it's not the truth. So here's what my professor told me one time, and when I first asked him about this tongues thing, speaking in tongues, you know what I mean? Speaking in tongues is real. It's of God. It's in your Bible. And we're going to talk a lot about it, and I'm going to show you, but listen to me. You want to go to don't go there right now, but when you get ready to study, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and start reading about how Paul tells us. And you got to understand there are different kinds of tongues. But the two that you're interested in today is plain and simple. There is a unknown tongue, which is singular, means heavenly language. And there are other tongues, and that tongues there means glossolalia, which means languages. Many Bibles translate it in other languages. I asked my pastor when I was 21 years old, I said, well, in Acts chapter 2, when they received the Holy Ghost, I said, they spoke in languages. They didn't speak in an unknown tongue. He said, well, they probably did. They just switched over. And that's been living with me for 40 years. They did a switch on me until I got enough sense to get my Bible out and see what the Bible says. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to learn the difference between singular. Lord must think this is really important. I want you to find the difference. When we leave here today, I want you to know the difference between singular, which is unknown tongue, or plural, which is other tongues. And if you don't know the difference, you don't even need to call yourself Pentecost. You're not qualified. You've got to know the difference. I pastored a church for a while without knowing the difference. When I asked my professor one time, he said, if you don't know the difference, don't even talk to me about it because you think I'm nuts. And so let's go to now. Let's start out with 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 22. How many of you know that tongues are a sign? Now, they're not the sign that the Holy Ghost has come. They are a sign to the unbeliever. Therefore, tongues. Notice now, when it says tongues there, that's what? That's plural. And the word that it used, glossolalia, it means other tongues or language. Now, in Acts the second chapter, when the Holy Ghost fell, they didn't speak in an unknown tongue, which the manual of the United Pentecostal Church says they did, but they spoke in other tongues or other languages. It's very plain because it says, every man heard them speak in his own language. Here we are. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe. Are you still with me? Am I out of the book yet? Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Otherwise, and we know this is plural, this is other languages. If you want to get my attention, you let Brother Dale start speaking to me in Portuguese, a language that he's never studied or learned, and then tell me what he said, then I'm pretty impressed. That takes the same amount of supernatural power as it does to heal cancer. We got it now where speaking in tongues is something that anybody could do anytime they get ready. They have prayer languages and all kinds of, they can just do it all. This is just let us, but stay in the Bible and let the Bible interpret the Bible. So here we're talking that sign that tongues are a sign for people that don't know God. That's the only sign that they are. They're not a sign that the Holy Spirit has come in. I'm really messed up. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. I think it is. Here's what we got to lay a foundation here, real quick. All the way through the New Testament, there's at least five or six times there is a verse of Scripture in one of those books, either Galatians or Ephesians or Revelations or whatever, that says that when you're interpreting the Word of God, that you can't put a word in or you can't take a word out. Let's read. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy." Now, the word prophecy there is well, I'll explain that later, but it can be an interpretation of this book. "If anyone adds to these things," if anyone does, are you listening to me? You can't. Remember what my pastor told me when I said, "Well, what did they do?" I said, "They started out speaking in singular tongues, but they ended up speaking in plural languages." He said, "Oh, they just switched over." No, they didn't just switch over. They never spoke in the singular unknown tongue. They spoke in languages, and that was the only language that they spoke in. And therefore, the manual that says they spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 is wrong. So it says here that you can't add. God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Next verse. "And if anyone takes away from the words," you can't add to and you can't take away. You can't add to. Do you hear me? No, you don't. You can't add to. If you really believe what I was telling you, that'd be the end of the Bible study right here. You can't add to it. You can't take away. Because there's so many places I'm going to show you where the Holy Spirit fell and they never spoke in tongues. And the only way you can make them is you're going to say, "Well, they spoke in tongues. They just didn't record it. God forgot." What's everybody looking at me for? Tongues are as real as God is. Now, I could go on forever showing you that you can't add to or take away. I don't know how many verses I've got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places in the New Testament. It says you can't add to and you can't take away. You can't add to and you take away. Ha ha. So don't forget that. Don't say, well now here they, because we're going to get in the book of Acts in a minute and you're going to say, "Well, they must have spoken tongues there." Don't say they did, but they must have. No, that's what you've been programmed, tutored, and taught your whole life, and you don't know no difference. Okay, now let's go to let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, wait a minute. Yeah, chapter 14 and verse 2. This verse is the verse that I was taught all my life that told me when I received the Holy Spirit. I had to speak in this unknown tongue. Let's read. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." That is a heavenly language that only God knows. It may not even have an earthly. In Acts, the second chapter, they spoke in earthly languages. 18 of them, to be exact. 18 different languages were spoken in the book of Acts in its plural. They were speaking in languages or other tongues. But here, which is the initial sign of you receiving the Holy Spirit, which is a singular here, it's a tongue that men can't understand, only God. "For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Otherwise, through the Holy Spirit, when you speak, you're speaking in a heavenly language, and it has nothing to do with a language that can be understood by another man. It's from God, it's of God, and we do speak in that language, but we don't know what we're saying. And Paul goes on and it shows us a little later, the only way that he wants you to speak in that tongue in church is if there is someone there to interpret that tongue. So here we are, believing that this is the initial sign of you receiving the Holy Spirit, but it's completely different than the way they received it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 19. They spoke in tongues in those three chapters in Acts. 9 times in the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost fell. 3 times they spoke in tongues, 7 times they did not. So the only thing you could say is those other 7 times, those people will not be saved according to the manual of the United Pentecostal Church. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 5 for just a moment. I want you to perceive and understand something here. This message, this gospel, has already been preached to the whole world. Already. We didn't need television. You know, TBN wants to take credit. Well, we couldn't spread the gospel if we didn't have television. God don't need television. We're going to read it right here. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, I don't know how many nations there is under heaven, but every one of them was there. And every one of them heard them speak in their own language. On and on I can go to show you. There was a time that I 25 years ago, if you wanted to know something about this Bible, you asked me because I knew. And I debated a man here in Sherman on the end time about when the rapture is going to take place. Is it going to take place before, in the middle, or at the end of the tribulation? Or you could be an amillennial, which believes that the kingdom of God is just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and there never will be. So I debated him, and the first question he asked me, and here I am in front of this audience of all these people, and first question he asked me is, what keeps Jesus from coming back now? I said, the gospel has not been preached to the whole world. He took the New Testament and 5 times read a verse that said, this gospel has already been preached to the whole world. So I didn't last very long in that debate, did I? Ignorance. At least you can fix ignorance. I'm not stupid, I'm just ignorant. Can't fix stupid. So after a little while, I kind of rubbed around on my bumps and stuff on my head that he had put on me, and he finally gave me another chance, and I approached it a little different. But what I'm trying to let you know is that many times what we think we believe and know can be completely wrong and false. Right there's a verse that says that every nation under heaven has already heard the gospel of the cross. Nobody. We don't need missionaries to go overseas. It's already been over there. Okay, now I could spend a lot of time here, but I won't. I'm going to rush on. Okay. So we know that the first gospel was preached to the Jews in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Let's go to verse 46 of chapter 2 real quickly. Acts. I hope I'm. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. That's not the verse I wanted. I That's not their fault. That's my lack of planning. But all I'm trying to show you with this particular verse is that the scripture does say that every man that was there spoke in a language that they had not previously learned. That's what was supernatural about it. You see, you can, let me just be honest with you. You can fake out people speaking in unknown tongues because that's a heavenly language. But you can't fake nobody out when you speak in other tongues. Now, isn't it strange how everybody that comes down here, have you ever heard any, I'm 43 years, I've never heard somebody speak in a language. That don't mean it's not real. It is real. It's real from God. That's the way. But all I'm trying to say is speaking in tongues is not the initial sign that you're saved. I was taught that my whole life. And you know, after I went to the altar and sought the Holy Ghost for 6 years, the night that I went to the altar, I told him this, well, yeah, this is true. The night that I got the Holy Ghost, I really kind of, I was in worse shape. I mean, I certainly wasn't at church for the right reasons that night. I went to smell some perfume. The Lord led me over there to a real pretty lady, and I felt led to go, you know, witness. Have a little spiritual fellowship up there. And I got over there, and the preacher preached, and I got a little shook up, went down to the altar, because I had things on my mind I shouldn't have had, and I knew better, and I got down there and got to repenting, and here come the pastor's wife. Now, 6 years I've been going down to that altar seeking the Holy Ghost. And she got down there, and she knew what I was there for. It was her daughter. So she knew she's going to get one shot, and she wanted to make sure it was a deadly one. So she got down there, and she said, you're going to get the Holy Ghost tonight, Larry. So we got this little routine, you know, thank you, Jesus, 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 you know. And she kept on, and she got there, and she finally got a hold of my chin. She said, okay, that's it, come on, that's it. And she got, blah, 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 and finally, that's the whole, you got it. And I got up, and I'm not trying to, in any way, disrespect. I'm just telling you, human behavior sometimes will let us go down the wrong road. And my life didn't really make any changes, except I did realize, and I even asked myself driving home that night, what did I do different tonight? And when I thought about that a while, I thought, boy, I wasn't doing so good. Because the first time I went to the altar, I was as sincere and as honest and as transparent with God as I could possibly be. The hardest thing for me to receive is God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith. And works has no part. There's not anything I can do to add to Calvary. He did it all. All I have to do is repent. Say I'm sorry. Turn myself around. Quit sinning. And be baptized. You see what separates anybody from God is sin. Sin came, and every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when baptism is introduced into your life, sin is dealt with. Ananias told Paul, after Paul had been blinded and sent to Ananias, Ananias looked at Paul and he said, Paul, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Now, if baptism doesn't deal with sin, I'll eat my hat. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the erasing or the washing away. You've got to be baptized in order for the sin question to be dealt with. So, boy, I hope I'm not being offensive. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just trying to get myself, I'm so keyed up right now, I'm about to blow a cork. I'm probably teaching you the most important thing I'll ever teach you in my life. And I just want you to see. Now, if I don't get in a hurry, I've got 14 pages here, and I'm still on the first chapter. Take your time, all right? We'll be here tomorrow. So, let's go to the book of Acts now. And I want you to remember, we're going to look at nine places in the book of Acts where the Holy Ghost was given. How many of you know the Holy Ghost is a gift? Now, how you earn a gift? You don't. It's given. You can't help it. You're going to get it. There is exceptions to rules like that. I remember when I asked my wife to marry me. And she said she'd think about it. So I went out and bought me a ring. That sucker cost me $20. More than I could afford, I'll tell you that. And I got that ring, and it was on a Friday night. And she was involved with some of her girlfriends, and they were going to a football game. So I missed work. I worked the second shift. Went and got that ring because I was going to go to her house and give her that ring and ask her to marry me. And when I got there, she went to a football game, and she knew I had the ring and I was coming over. My whole life has been like that. She didn't want my gift. I found out later she had already went and looked to see how many carats it was, and it was only, so the other guy, he had looked at a bigger ring. She knew that. But normally gifts are appreciated. And Jesus gave the only gift that can give you eternal life. So let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 and see here where the Holy Ghost. Now remember, you can't add to, you can't take away. I was told my whole life that they spoke in tongues here, but they didn't. And we are his witness to these things, and so also the Holy Spirit whom God hath given to those who obey him. We can keep reading. I'm not going to spend a lot of, I will in some of the verse places, but right here I just want you to understand. The Holy Ghost was given by God to these people, and when he gave it to them, there's no recorded speaking in tongues. They just received the Holy Ghost. Now, did they get it, or? Okay, let's go. It gets a little plainer. Like I said, nine times. So, Acts chapter 11, verse 15. And as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. That's two places the Holy Ghost was given, and they did not speak in tongues. Now let's go to wherever the next one's at. 11 and 15. I'm sorry. 11 and 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. They were saved. They were born into the kingdom of God, and they did not speak in tongues. Next verse. Okay, well, just let me read it. The news of these things came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barabbas to go as far as Antioch. Verse 23, verse 20. When he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them. All that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now the 24, I think this is verse 1. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church. In one interpretation, here it says the Lord. They received the Holy Ghost. Now, either they received the Holy Ghost, but they did not speak in tongues. Or if they did, they switched over. Okay, next verse. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, now this is where Paul, the Apostle Paul, gets the Holy Ghost. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He did not speak in tongues. You could read the whole chapter, but he didn't speak. But yet in Corinthians, he said, I wish, you know, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But here he did not. Or if he did, they switched over. You can't add to or you can't take away, but you can switch over. Next verse. Now, I can do this all night long. I can show you where the Holy Ghost fell in the book of Acts over and over and over and over and over and over, and they didn't speak in tongues, but there's still some people who are going to sit there and say, they switched over. Then they lay hands on them and receive the Holy Spirit. And they didn't speak in tongues. They got the Holy Ghost. They got saved. So all I'm trying to say, the only change that I'm in my life that I'm is I'm just telling you, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. Next verse. Now we're going to jump to the place. Nine times in the book of Acts, Holy Ghost was given. Seven times they did not speak in tongues. Three times they did, and now we're fixing to enter into one of those times. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his... How in the world did I get that? Speak in his own language. That was the verse I was looking for earlier to show you. Notice here. Notice that it says the word language there is also translated in many places as tongues, other languages. The word is glossolalia. That I don't know how King James determines which time he's going to use the word language or which time he's going to use the words tongues. I read at least three books this last 2 weeks trying to find the answer to that, and I could not find it. But they're the same word, and they're interpreted. It just depends on what he wants to say. But here he says they speak in their own language. In another translation, the New International Version, says speak in their own tongues. The tongues being plural. Again, remember, singular, plural. This is a plural because there is more than one language because it was out of every nation under heaven. And there was many tongues. So it's always going to be plural. And when they speak in one of those languages, they can always understand what's being said. Okay, next verse. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm running out of time, and I just can't keep going as slow as I'm going. I got to do something. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, plural. It could be just as correctly interpreted as you could say other languages. As the Spirit gave the utterance. It's got to be supernatural. The Spirit gave the utterance. They spoke, remember this, they spoke in languages that they did not know and they had never been taught. That's what's supernatural, how they spoke in another language. If you know, when Ed and Suzanne first became a part of our family and I worked with them all the time, it didn't take me long to figure out when they wanted to talk about me. They would just talk in Holland. And I could always tell when Suzanne was saying something, you know, after, you know, to Ed, that because Ed would start grinning. And I don't know what she was saying, but I sure had a good understanding that it wasn't about, never mind. But now, they would have been really impressed if all of a sudden I had to interpret back to her what she said to me. Wow, Brother Flanagan, you are smarter than you look. There is a God that knows all languages everywhere. And the way that he brought this gospel into existence is through tongues, other languages. That's how it was born. And that gospel is still the same gospel. It hadn't changed. But it doesn't mean just because you speak. And believe me, you do have to have the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. But just because you haven't spoken tongues doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Ghost. I hope you understand that. There was 8 men that went to the church that Stanley was and I was raised in over in Durant. And in a period of time, many of them went to the altar. But most of those 8 men that I know died without ever speaking in tongues, and they thought they were lost because somebody told them that if they didn't speak in tongues, they couldn't be saved. Sister Carla's dad, who I had the privilege of pastoring for years, had been taught that so strongly. And I visited with him over and over and over and over, and he died thinking that he couldn't be saved because he couldn't speak in tongues. That's cruel to me for a preacher to stand up and tell a man, and that man lived the best life. He was paralyzed. When he was a young man, he was walking across the roof of a building and fell down several stories and paralyzed and lost half of his body. And a little few years later, he fell off the house and finished paralyzed from his neck down. And he lay there night and day praying, God, give me the Holy Ghost. But because he couldn't speak in tongues, he died a horrible fear. That's what's wrong with that doctrine. I'm not trying to tear anything down. And I respect some of the best people I've ever met in my life are United Pentecostal people. They put me to shame. I can't even carry their shoes. But that don't mean I can't be saved. God can save me too. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, laying his hands on him. Brothers, I've already done that one. Let's go to 8 and 17. Acts 8 and 17. Then they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. Simple. The Bible says they received it, but they didn't speak in tongues. Or if they did, they switched over. It is so important for you to get interested enough in your salvation to get your Bible out. You should let me influence maybe some of your thinking or whatever, but you need to get your own Bible out and dig that baby out. And, hey, if I'm wrong, you come to me and say, Brother Flanagan, here's where you're wrong. This is, the Bible says right here, they spoke in tongues, and it's the only way you can be saved. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. God made a big mistake if he wrote that whole Bible and forgot to tell you that you had to speak in tongues in order to go to heaven. But he never said it anywhere, never even mentioned it. Joel said, with stammering lips and other tongues, will I speak through my people. The most difficult thing, let me quickly get to the close here. I believe that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. And then I'm going to start winding down. I'll let you be out of here by 2 o'clock, I promise. He who speaks in a tongue, notice. Now, remember when we started out, I told you how, you got to learn the difference between singular and plural. And what is this one here? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Otherwise, you know, I was taught that when you spoke in tongues, that it was a sign you received the Holy Ghost. But the only person that benefits from unknown tongues, the only person that benefits from the unknown tongue is the person speaking it. If I sit around here and talk in tongues all day long by Sister Elizabeth, if I just sit there and just spoke to a person, she'd get up and move. It irritates me to death. You don't know what they're saying? Knowing some of them, I'm sure they're repenting because, you know. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. The word prophecy there, that's the place, same place you could say that he interprets otherwise. So you see, the only tongue, and Paul tells you that you got to, when you speak in an unknown tongue, singular, that has to be interpreted for it to be of any benefit to anybody. Now the person speaking it, he don't even know what he's saying. He's not speaking to God, to man, he's speaking to God, but he don't know what he's saying. He's just jabbering. But there are somebody else that can prophesy and tell you what he said. Again, the supernatural has to kick in. And then he can tell you what that man just said. And prophesy to you. And that benefits who? The church. I pray that you have received what I've said from the sincerity of my heart, not trying to be cute, smart aleck, just trying my best to convey to you what I have been living with for the last 8 years and didn't have the guts to really get up here and say it because I wouldn't. I mean, I studied it and I've talked to everybody I can talk to and I've wore people out, listen, you know. But I believe with all of my heart I have told you the truth. And I believe that it's necessary. Don't ever stop. Listen, Paul said, I hope you all speak in tongues. Tongues are of God and they're real. And they belong in the church. But let's not keep somebody from going to heaven. You want me to tell you something that was really breaking my heart is when I would spend time with Carla's dad. He said over and over, Brother Flanagan, I'm just not worthy. God just, and that was because some preacher got up and preached that, telling him if he couldn't speak in tongues, he couldn't go to heaven. That's mean. If that's not something that the devil can use, the devil could attack his faith so strongly, he couldn't believe. There's one factor in my life that gives me an anchor that I stand by many, many times. And that is my own father, who had a reputation. He was a drunkard, a fighter. He had to leave Durant, Oklahoma to keep from going to prison. That's before they got computers and, you know, you could tear your license up and go to another state. But when he went down to the altar and repented of his sins, he changed his life so drastically that to this day you can't tell me there's not a God in heaven. If you knew how many times he would put me on his knee when I was 5 and 6 years old and say, "Son, Daddy ain't never going to drink that beer again. Daddy ain't going to never run off again. And Daddy ain't never going to fight again." And only a week later, I'd be looking at him through the bars of the jailhouse with his face swollen so badly that I couldn't even recognize my own daddy. But when he went down to that altar, he got something that could deliver him and keep him. And when he died, the last time I talked to him, he told me after about 40-something years that he had never spoken in tongues. If he didn't make it, I don't even need to try. Will you stand with me? So much that I didn't touch topside or bottom of that probably would have helped you understand more what I'm trying to say. But Wednesday night, I do want to talk to you some more about maybe going down some of the same road. But basically, I want to talk to you about how we have gotten to where we're at today religiously. The reformation that took place in the church and how that religion today, you know, right now there's almost another reformation going on in the religious world. Have you noticed that? Churches are coming out of churches. Denominational barriers are being broke down. Baptists are speaking in tongues. There's another movement that's reaching that place that you and I need to get out of this world and get in the church like we've never been before. God has still got the spirit that can deliver the alcoholic from alcohol. He can still deliver the dope addict from dope. He can still fix broken marriages. He can still bring our children to the pavilion of safety. There's power in the name of Jesus. Don't ever let that go away from the church. We got to stand and proclaim that Jesus Christ is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we're able to ask or think according to the power that's in us. We've got to give the world hope. We can't take hope away from them. This world is not